matter, Morty?
Great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Fashion has changed.
No, it hasn't.
Hi, I'm Lauren Garoni.
And I'm Chelsea Fairless.
And welcome back to the Every Outfit Podcast and our fifth annual audio-only Met Gala red carpet review, as God intended it to be.
Wow, this is the end of the road for us, Lauren, the last year.
Which is why I decided to get a laser procedure done the day of the Met.
Guys, you can't see her right now, but Lauren's face does resemble beef carpaccio.
That's right. In the words of Samantha Jones, honey, I got a little something done.
This isn't fair, though, because you've gotten all of this laser shit because we have to be on camera soon. I've never even gotten a facial. Like, I'm not like a skin person. I have skin, but I guess I just don't do anything to take care of it like a normal woman who cares about their appearance somewhat.
Well, it's because you took the Isabel Rossellini Death Becomes Her substance, I assume.
I wish.
You do look ageless, Chelsea. You don't need these pesky lasers that I've gotten done. You did not suffer from adult acne in your 20s.
Aw, I missed your adult acne era. When did that happen? And more importantly, what foundation did you use?
I just put a bag over my head and hope for the best.
Okay, we are here to talk about the Met.
Actually, I'm boycotting Chelsea, so I won't be participating in this episode.
We should be boycotting, but we're not.
This might be our most toxic trait, but we love the Met Gala. I don't want to say we don't care who's hosting because we'll be talking about it every year, but I'm sure we'll have a line at some point because let's be honest, this isn't going in a great direction of who is underwriting the Met Gala year to year.
Maybe we'll protest when it's like the Sackler Monsanto year.
Oh, that one for sure. We'll be sitting that one out. But we have to be honest as Met Gala historians. Evil tech companies have been the corporate sponsor for like the last 10 to 12 years.
Yeah. And this isn't even the first time that Jeff Bezos has sponsored the Met Gala. And of course, we should all be critical of Amazon's business practices and their close ties with our increasingly sinister elected officials. But that said, we still have to talk about the Met Gala.
Yeah, and a lot of focus on the Bezos, which is completely understandable. But I do want to bring to the fuckhead's attention that last night there were many evil tech companies that bought tables. Meta was there, OpenAI was there, Snapchat was there.
I wonder who was at the OpenAI table.
I just want to shout out a couple of forms of brilliant activist protests that were going on in the city. There was, of course, the group Everyone Hates a Lawn that was plastering all of these posters around New York. They were also responsible for leaving, 300 tiny bottles of urine at the Metropolitan Museum.
Were they tiny bottles or were they just like regular water bottles?
They looked like the type of bottles that you would take a shot of ginger or something with.
So not the bottle that an Amazon employee would piss in?
No. See, that was my favorite bit of protest art, which was whomever put up outside the Metropolitan Museum a sign, a very legit street sign that said Met Gala VIP toilet, which were just large empty water bottles, which is, of course, a reference to the fact that Amazon workers often have to piss in water bottles because they are not given adequate breaks.
Don't love that. But love these resourceful protesters.
I unfortunately think that the evil tech billionaire corporate sponsors is a tradition that will continue because this year was the highest grossing year of the Met Gala. I'm sure, Chelsea, you're like, no, wait, last year was the highest grossing year. You are correct. They outpaced the year before. Last year, the Met Gala grossed $31 million. This year, they raised $42 million.
Great. I hope the people that work there can get raises. Just saying.
I unfortunately don't think that will be happening.
So generally, what do you think about this year?
Well, generally, I thought that this year was less overwhelming than the past 2 years. So that's a plus for us as people that have to quickly get our thoughts out and review the show.
I'm not exactly sure why. I feel like there might have been slightly fewer people this year.
It felt like less who's.
Yeah.
But given that the red carpet theme was fashion is art, I guess foolishly I assume that people would be wearing outfits that were a nod to fashion designers who push the boundaries of fashion as an art form. Your Hussein Chalions, your Victor and Rolfs, your Elsa Schiaparelli, who Schiaparelli did dress a few people, which we will get into in a little bit. But mostly it felt like an art history class.
See, while there were a lot of art history references, I thought there would be more obvious ones, I guess you could say. I feel like the references are getting more obscure every single Met Gala.
We have noted this the past few years that there are things that seem like obvious references. And I think because they're so obvious that people don't do them, like given the fact that Saint Laurent was the designer sponsor for the event, I think we figured that someone dressed by Saint Laurent would be in the Mondrian dress.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that they didn't do that.
I feel like they could have bullied Connor Story into wearing the Mondrian dress.
I feel like he's a little too ripped. I feel like we need like a twink like Troye Sivan in that. That would have been great.
But yeah, for me, it just felt like fashion is art and art is florals.
Yeah, I actually don't want to see flowers, I think because of the Garden of Time Met Gala from a couple years ago. Was that the one before last?
Yeah, I believe that was the I want to do a Galliano retrospective and I was told no, so I got to figure out a theme really quickly.
Right.
That was the year.
Of course.
But, you know, it was concerning at times when I was watching the Vogue live stream that if I had it on mute, depending on who was on the red carpet, I could not confidently tell you what the theme was.
Yeah, there were a lot of statue people, though.
Oh, yeah. No, fashion is art and art is fake hands and arms.
There were fake hands and arms. There were a lot of people whose looks were referencing classical marble statues where it looked like cloth was draped over the body of the person in the statue. That, I think, was the most common visual gag. And the sort of like Venus de Milo type women, I think Kylie Jenner being the most prominent example of that.
Yet no one committed to the no arms.
That's true. No one pulled a Eva Green in The Dreamers and just got rid of the arms altogether.
Don't tempt Heidi Klum. That was the only way that she could commit to the bit anymore.
Okay, can we just get into our favorite straight away? Because I'm going to make a case for Heidi Klum. I know a lot of people are hating on Heidi Klum. A lot of people thought that Heidi Klum was really gimmicky and that she wasn't chic. And obviously, Tom Ford felt that way. But I also love how weird this look is, and I can't help but admire the sheer artistry of the prosthetics. The artist that she works with is this guy named Mike Marino, who does all of her Halloween stuff also.
He does all of her Halloween stuff. I believe he did Bad Bunny's prosthetics for the evening as well. He is also the man responsible for making Colin Farrell look like Richard Kind in The Batman.
Oh, wow.
I agree with you, Chelsea. I know a lot of people said that this look was too much. And to those people, I say, maybe everyone else didn't try hard enough.
I also love that at the Met Gala, everyone's number one goal is looking hot. And this bitch rocks up, dressed as a statue, and not even like a yassified statue. She's like, I am adding 100 pounds of solid marble to my body.
However, ironically, she might have been one of the few people who could actually sit down and eat. Because I don't know if you saw this interview, but I think it was the Ashley Graham, Cara Delevingne interview where she's like, actually, I know I look really hard, but I'm really soft. Like, touch me. And then she practiced sitting down.
I love that. And not only is she not trying to look hot, she looks unrecognizable.
Can I request something of, let's say, the Vogue live stream? Can you please put chyrons like your E! News at the Oscars of who the people are on the red carpet and who they're wearing?
I would love that.
I truly spent 7 minutes staring at who I learned was Heidi Klum being like, who the fuck is that? What is that?
She's seriously so cool for that. Other people are starving themselves to go to the Met Gala, and this is what she's doing. Respect.
And she's put in the work with those Halloween parties, which I feel like don't get as much coverage as they used to.
Well, her Halloween looks are so legendary. This is up there with the Worm, I think. I don't think anything will ever top the Worm that she dressed as for Halloween. And if you've never seen it, guys, you're in for a treat. Just Google Heidi Klum Worm. This was a close second.
It was. This episode is brought to you by IQBar, our exclusive snack, hydration, and coffee sponsor. IQBar protein bars, IQ Mix hydration mixes, and IQ Joe mushroom coffees are the delicious low-sugar brain and body fuel you need to win your day. I have to say, IQBar came into my life because they were a sponsor of this podcast, but I now genuinely use IQBar in my daily life. You know that mid-afternoon, late in the day, low energy feeling you get? You're hungry, you want a snack, something that satisfies the sweet tooth, but is healthy and will keep you satiated until dinner. That's when I reach for an IQBar. Perhaps in their chocolate sea salt flavor or salted caramel chip with macadamia nuts and sweet chocolate chips that was developed in collaboration with Michelin star chef Thomas Keller. Also, I have not been the best at drinking water recently, but with the IQ Mix, it has made drinking water actually fun. And how could it not be with flavors like piña colada or peach mango? IQ Mix is a zero-sugar drink mix that hydrates with electrolytes, improves mood, and boosts clarity. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bar's brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all three. That's right, if you've been wondering about IQ Bar, I would recommend getting their ultimate sampler pack. It's a great way to try all IQ Bar products and flavors. You get 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the ultimate sampler pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text OUTFIT to 64000. Text OUTFIT to 64000. That's OUTFIT to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Another great look was Kim Kardashian, who I really didn't think was ever going to be able to top her camp look, but this comes close.
She's the MVP. She loves doing the research. She loves the history. Her and Sarah Jessica Parker, but unfortunately, Sarah Jessica Parker did not attend this year.
I know. That was my, you posted this tweet where someone was like, we need to have one person there who is in it for the exhibition only.
That is SJP. It's not the same without her.
So Kim Kardashian was in Alan Jones. I'm really glad I did not place a bet on Polly Market about what Kim would be wearing, because if I had, I would have bet, you know, probably everything. Everything that every outfit has on the fact that she would be wearing something from Hussein Shalayan's Fall Winter 2000 collection, namely the table skirt.
Which would have been incredible.
And Kim did say, you're never going to be able to guess what I will be wearing. And she was correct.
She was correct. We could have never seen this coming, although we should have seen this coming because she is the ultimate Alan Jones girl. She looks like that. It's a little confusing, but this piece that she wore is a collaboration with Alan Jones, but it was fabricated by these gays named Whitaker Malum, who I actually name checked on last week's episode of the podcast because we were talking about fetish fashion. And I was talking about how they also do this stuff for Alexander McQueen and for Dallara, and they did this, and it's major.
Well, I didn't think she would be wearing Alan Jones just for the fact that Bianca Censori, during her performance art piece in Seoul, Korea, that we talked about in a recent VIP episode.
Her performance piece, which was called Biopop, if anyone cares.
Featured her version of the Alan Jones fetish women chairs that were other women dressed up to look like Bianca Censori. So I just assumed that Kim Kardashian wasn't going to venture in there, seeing that her ex-husband's current wife recently referenced Alan Jones. But it does feel like quite the move to be like, oh, you're referencing Alan Jones? Guess what? I'm getting the real Alan Jones to make a dress for me.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. The Bianca Censori piece was a pastiche of many Alan Jones references. And Alan Jones is someone that has been copied to death, most famously by Stanley Kubrick, who ripped off his furniture for Clockwork Orange. So it is very funny for Kim to come in and be like, no, bitch, like, I am a one of one Alan Jones original and you are a bootleg.
Well, this piece that came out today from Perfect Magazine, I think the inflection point was that Kim Kardashian saw this shoot that Nadia Lee Cohen did, where Nadia Lee Cohen was wearing Alan Jones pieces and it was inspired by a lot of Alan Jones artwork. And that seems to be the starting point of this look.
Yeah, she did that recently for Perfect Magazine. But there are a lot of Alan Jones themed fashion editorials. There was one in Pop magazine where Kate Moss wore a very similar piece to what Kim ended up wearing. Also, I don't know if it was the same issue, but they also did like a really insane shoot with Devin Aoki wearing those pieces. Also, I don't know if you remember, there was a really dark period for Interview magazine when Fabian Baron took it over for that period of time where Kylie Jenner did a whole like Alan Jones cover shoot.
Right, right.
It's a played out fashion magazine reference, but we've never seen it on the red carpet in this way before.
And I think it was one of her most successful Met Gala looks.
Totally. You sent me the Vogue behind the scenes video, which featured Kim and Alan Jones. It was super cute. He also like walked out of the Mark Hotel with her when she was like getting papped, getting into the car, going to the Met Gala. But he was saying in the video that he wanted her to dye her hair. He didn't like the fact that it was this honey blonde color. He wanted it to be the jet black Alan Jones girl hair. And I wonder if she didn't do that because of Bianca.
That's possible, because in that video you see her talking about, because of course Kim does a full-fledged photo shoot prior to the Met, the weekend before.
Shot by Nadia Lee Cohen.
Yes, who did the creative direction and, as I previously said, I think inspired this entire look with her own photo shoot. But Kim was wearing a slightly darker wig, and she talked about her process with the Met Gala of doing these weekend before photo shoots as these like final fittings that helps really hone in the look. Because from there, she wanted, or she had Chris Appleton dye her wig, which gave it a much more Barbarella look.
Totally. Which was cool. But it also made it look more like the Kate Moss, Devin Aoki Pop magazine images that I was referencing.
So I guess, Bianca, it's now in your corner. I think now you have to marry Alan Jones. I think this is where it goes. And then Kim has to kill Alan Jones. I don't know how this escalates, but
no one is killing Alan Jones.
Okay, what were some of your other favorite looks?
Controversial choice, but I loved Sarah Paulson in Matière Fecale, aka Fecal Matter. She wore a tattered looking tulle ball gown with a mask shaped like a dollar bill that covered her eyes, which like completely obscured her eyes, which also would have been perfect for the Punk Met Gala.
For sure. And this was from their Fall Winter 2026 collection, which was titled The 1%, which was a collection about the myopic focus on money and wealth indicators that the 1% has.
But the general response to this look was negative. Everyone was like, bitch, if you're going to wear an outfit where the subtext is eat the rich, you probably shouldn't go to the Met Gala to begin with.
Well, my favorite version of that was seeing people be like, that's rich for someone who paid $100,000 for a ticket to wear something mocking the 1%. And it's like, oh, she didn't pay $100,000. She was invited.
Yeah, she was invited. This is also the same stuff that people were saying about AOC's tax the rich look. Although I would say this is a little less contrived than that, because she's wearing clothes that were just in their last fashion show. Like, she's not wearing some crazy custom look. The dress was in that show. The mask was in that show.
Oh, so you're saying it's more sustainable than AOC's Tax the Rich?
No, I'm just saying that from the jump, I don't think her look was conceived of as a political statement. Of course, it is a political statement, but I think it makes sense for her. I think it looks cool. I think it's cool that she wore a young, up-and-coming designer.
I agree. I think you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And this was really the only political statement we saw on the red carpet.
She also looks like herself, which at the Met Gala, a lot of people don't, you know, they look like they're in freakish costumes. She looks like a normal woman. She probably took the mask off when she got inside and just looked like normal Sarah Paulson.
I do like that as she's matured on the red carpet, she has really adopted, I mean, her and her stylist, Carla Welch, it seems like they are in constant conversation with each other, but this very bulbous silhouette on her.
It's more just like a full skirt.
Yeah.
Like, she loves like a sort of mid-century look like that, which I think is cool. And also, I feel like this look works on multiple levels because, sure, there's this sort of eat the rich Bezos Met Gala aspect of it. But also, like, when you consider the dollar bill, it's also very like Duchampian when you consider that, like, they've taken this dollar bill out of its normal context and like decided that it's art or whatever.
And that's why she's on our best dress list.
She's representing the avant-garde artists with that look.
And that's right, Fuckettes. We're starting at the top this episode. We're starting with best dressed, and you got it. We're ending with worst dressed. What's in between that? Stay tuned to find out. I have to be honest, I never thought much about the cleaning products I was buying until I had a child. We hear a lot about microplastics in oceans and food, but they're also in cleaning products too, which is a terrifying thought. That's why I started using Blue Land. I know Chelsea has used Blue Land for a while, but now I'm a Blue Land convert, and I was shocked at how good these products work. But why should I be? Blue Land products are independently tested to perform alongside major brands, and the formulas are free from dyes, parabens, and harsh chemicals. I use so many of their products daily, from their foaming hand soap to their multi-surface cleaner. They smell great, and it is very fun filling your forever bottles with water and popping that tablet in and watching it fizz and dissolve. Oh, and their laundry tablets have been a game changer. They come in a very chic tin. They get tough stains out, whether it's spit up or food stains or paint from one of Paul's weekend projects. Yet it's hypoallergenic and safe for sensitive skin. I can attest, I wash all of Morty's baby clothes with Blue Land laundry tablets and it hasn't upset his little baby skin. Blue Land is a certified B Corp and Leaping Bunny cruelty-free certified. Their formulas are EPA Safer Choice certified, and many products have also earned Cradle to Cradle's Gold Material Health Certificate. Make the switch today. Get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/outfit. That's 15% off your first order at blueland.com/outfit. blueland.com/outfit.
Okay, what else are you into?
Maybe a controversial pick because I didn't see a lot of people talking about her, but Zoe Kravitz in Saint Laurent. Is it on theme? I don't know, and I don't care. I think she looks great.
I think it's on theme. Would you consider the body element of the theme? Definitely. It's a sheer lace gown. Like, it's about showcasing her body.
And no one does a naked dress better than Zoe Kravitz, who is usually dressed by Saint Laurent. And I feel like she wore a version of a naked dress a couple years ago when she went with Channing Tatum. And, you know, it featured a Basque waist, this dress, and that allowed her to hide her left hand because I don't know if you know the rumors, Chelsea, but she's rumored to be engaged to Harry Styles. So that allowed her to hide her left hand.
Actually, he's the person that should have worn the Mondrian dress. That seems like something he'd do.
Okay, who else did I like? Paloma and Francesco Resso, who's the former creative director of Marnie. He now has a new line, Bureau of Imagination. I think Paloma also gets the award for the most convoluted explanation of her outfit.
No, it's so true. And there is always someone at the Met Gala that has this outfit. And this time it's her because it's like Francesco Resso's new line, Bureau of Imagination for eBay.
Oh, well, see, I knew that the gown was sourced from eBay. And when I say gown, I mean this was a gown that was built from multiple vintage pieces from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s that were purchased from eBay that were then disassembled, reassembled, and painted to make her look like a canvas.
I think that he is a good choice for this Met Gala because he's one of the few designers that has always been into sort of like wearable art and upcycling and making things that can't be mass produced in that way. But they cited Cy Twombly and Anna Mendieta, RIP Queen, as influences.
I think if we're going to have gowns that look like paintings, this was the most successful, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was good.
But I would say the most successful interpretation of a model as art as a statue would be Kendall Jenner in Gap Studio. And I am aware that this may make me a basic bitch for having Kendall Jenner on my best dress list, but I don't care.
Oh, I thought you were a basic bitch because you have Gap on your best dress list.
Gap Studio, excuse you.
Designed by Zach Posen, a true master of the gown. I can't believe he used to be Lena Dunham's babysitter.
And look at him now just twisting up Gap white t-shirts and putting them on Kendall Jenner. Of course, the Kendall Jenner's look took inspiration from the famous Nike statue in the Louvre. Again, she didn't commit to the bit of not having arms, but whatever. She also didn't commit to having wings, which were only seen inside in a photograph. I assume because they were too unwieldy.
Okay, but what do you think of the other Kardashians?
So Kylie and Schiaparelli.
I think it was quite good, but also predictable.
I was going to say, I don't dislike it, but I wanted to like it more.
It's just exactly what I would have expected her to wear. Some Venus de Milo adjacent thing.
Yeah, I saw people online saying that it was an homage to that Man Ray photo of Elsa Schiaparelli where her head is above a statue, but I don't know. I don't see the vision exactly.
This is exactly what I'm saying. The references are getting so esoteric. It's like, oh, you're not familiar with this cave drawing?
You know who I'm going to assume didn't have a reference? Kris Jenner.
But she looked good.
Oh, she was in Dolce. Her date was David Geffen. Mentally, Kris is already on a yacht in Portofino.
Totally. And she's also instantly debunking all the rumors that her facelift has like fallen.
Oh, she immediately went on Chloe's podcast. I think that's why she made Chloe get a podcast, is like, in case we need to comment on stuff immediately.
Kris looked really good.
She looked great as always. I do think it was probably Kim's night.
Oh, for sure. It's always Kim's night. When has it ever been anyone else's night?
Yeah, fair. All right. We alluded to this earlier, but I have to say, if there was a theme for last night, it was art history. Not even AP art history. Intro to art history.
So we got many versions of the Madame X painting by John Singer Sargent. Most notably, Lauren Sanchez Bezos. Everyone is hating, but I kind of respect her choice, not because I think it looks incredible, but she could have shown up dressed like Kylie Jenner or Beyonce, and everyone would have been like, ew. I think toning it down was a wise PR move for her.
I just think it's a lazy reference. Like, in regards to Lauren Sanchez Bezos, I get it. It's, you know, Madame X was this portrait of a nouveau riche wife that was considered vulgar and scandalized the world. And we've now interpreted this dress on the woman who has scandalized the Met Gala. But my issue with the dress in trying to reference the John Singer Sargent Madame X painting is, why is the dress blue and why isn't your hair in an updo?
True. Really, why is the dress blue? The dress is Schiaparelli, by the way.
And the rumor is that she paid some kind of exclusivity fee to Schiaparelli. I don't know how true this is, but it does make sense because I'm surprised that Schiaparelli didn't have more of a presence on the red carpet, given the theme.
What do you mean? They dress Kylie.
They dress two people.
Right.
I feel like in past years, they've dressed more. So it's just interesting that he only dressed two people for the Met Gala.
I don't know. I think Lauren Sanchez can't really win. And no one wants her to. And that's really what it's about. But in terms of her fashion instincts, like, she is a girl that is into Versace and Dolce. She wants to look like Sofia Vergara or like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, she's not like a Kim Kardashian who wants to sort of like dip in and out of the avant-garde in that way. So I think that this is just who she is, and this is how she wants to look.
Absolutely. And she was styled by La Roche, which if you go on his social media, you wouldn't know because he has not posted a photo of her.
That's crazy because Claire Foy also dressed like Madame X, which means that this is the second year that La Roche has had a client that has had a twin at the Met Gala. Because if you'll remember, this happened last year with Zendaya and Anna Sawai.
That's right. Someone pulled out because La Roche, this was the first year he attended the Met Gala on his own. And someone reposted the moment on the red carpet from last year where he thought he saw Zendaya, but it was Anna Sawai. Mm-hmm. And he was just sort of like, oh my God, they're in the same thing. Which, before we move on, can we get into the articles, of which there were multiple I read over the weekend, of people quote-unquote boycotting the Met Gala just because they weren't attending this year, Zendaya being one of them?
Okay, I hate this whole discourse because unless someone comes out and says, I am not going to the Met Gala this year because of Jeff Bezos, they are not boycotting.
Which seemingly the only one who did that this year would be New York City Mayor Zoran Mondani.
Respect to him.
But I just found it funny that people were giving Zendaya her flowers of like, you go, girl, boycott the Met Gala. It's like, okay, but her longtime stylist and really good friend is going and has been the image architect for Lauren Sanchez Bezos. So like, if you're mad at Lauren Sanchez...
Okay, don't normalize the use of image architect.
That's what you're mad about in this string of words?
I'm just saying, come on.
Okay, moving on. We have Hunter Schaefer.
as that little girl in that Gustav Klimt painting in Prada. So fun, so specific, totally different than everyone else. The girl in the painting really looks like Hunter.
I know. I mean, this is not an award show, at least not yet. But if we had an award for the most faithful interpretation of a piece of art, I would say that it goes to Hunter Schafer.
Totally. Although she wasn't in like a literal version of the dress. It was totally deconstructed. And it was Prada. Did we mention that?
It's Prada.
It's Prada. Also, I love that she like steps on the red carpet, kind of giggly, like with the confidence of a little girl, which was like very cute to me. Love her.
Very anti what we've seen on this season of Euphoria.
Well, she looks incredible on this season of Euphoria, though. That's a conversation for another time.
Next week, we'll get into it.
So we got many Eves Klein references. We got Tessa Thompson and Valentino. That was cool. Very literal, but successful, I would say.
She was in Eves Klein blue, was her gown.
She looked like a paint splatter, and her hand was covered in paint also. And then we got Seth Meyers' wife, Alexi Ash. She looks cool as fuck. Who is this girl?
Let me go into the recesses of my mind. I believe she is or was a lawyer. She is a complete normie. And, you know, sometimes a plus one has the best look.
This plus one is wearing a Phoebe Philo era Celine dress that is an Eves Klein reference as well. Incredible piece. Nice to see something that I feel like is probably in the exhibition on the carpet.
And it's so surprising because it's a really good reference and can't even call it an archival piece because I think it's from the 2017 collection. But like, it makes you feel like, oh, this is a bitch who has taste. Like this dress might as well have been in her closet.
Yeah, she might have had it already. That's the best way to look. And then we got Hailey Bieber in Yves Saint Laurent, referencing a look from Yves Saint Laurent's Fall Winter 1969 collection that was a collaboration with Claude Lalanne, the furniture designer, primarily.
The amount of work that 3D artists and mold people had for this year's Met Gala.
It was so good, though. And in the original YSL look, the blue is not that Yves Klein blue, but they made it Yves Klein blue, which I think is better on Haley and feels fresher, less dusty.
Yes. And they molded the breastplate to Hailey Bieber's body. And it's a little bit longer than the original breastplate piece that they are referencing from the 1969 collection. But, you know, she looks good in Saint Laurent. She does well at the Met. The look is very inoffensive.
I think it was very chic. Although I'm sad that she didn't come with Justin Bieber.
Who was, I have to assume, because he wasn't attending, boycotting the Met Gala. Same with Timmy, who was just in Midtown watching the Knicks game. But he too was boycotting the Met Gala.
Absolutely.
If you care about gut health, protein, and real whole foods, this next sponsor might be the easiest habit you can add to your day. I am, of course, talking about Brodo. Now, I had seen Brodo advertised on social media, but I knew I had to try it when I learned it was started by Marco Canora, who is the founder of one of my favorite East Village restaurants, Hearth. Truly, when I lived there, it was my favorite neighborhood spot, and I had no idea he started Brodo out of the side door of Hearth 11 years ago. Brodo makes bone broths that are delicious enough to drink. Each cup delivers whole food protein, about 10 grams per serving, along with collagen-building amino acids, electrolytes, and nutrients to support gut health, immunity, joints, skin, and general wellness, all under 50 calories with zero sugar or fat. I sip their chicken broth in the morning instead of a second cup of coffee. I use their Hearth blend made of beef, chicken, and turkey as a base for Morty's purees. And lately for dinner, I've been venturing into their amazing blends like the Spicy Nona, which is roasted garlic and chili-infused chicken broth, and their Tom Yum bone broth, which are the perfect base for an easy yet delicious soup. I know you're probably wondering, is bone broth actually good for you, or is it just hype? A 2025 study found that amino acids in broth heal leaky guts and strengthen the immune system. Shop the best broth on the planet with Brodo. Head to brodo.com/outfit for 20% off your first subscription order and use outfit for an additional $10 off. Once again, that's brodo.com/outfit for 20% off your first subscription order and an additional $10 off if you use the promo code outfit.
So I thought a surprisingly strong look was from the actress Rachel Ziegler, who was referencing the painting The Execution of Lady Jane Grey. by Paul de la Roche. She was in Prabal Gurung. This is likely a reference to backlash that she has faced, I guess, for being too woke of a Snow White is what the internet explained to me.
Wow.
She too has faced persecution just like Lady Jane Grey. So I enjoyed that reference.
The painting that it's referencing is amazing. For me, this was a look where I'm kind of like, I wish it looked more like the painting, which is a thought I had about a bunch of people.
In what sense? Did you want her to be with an executioner?
No, I'm just saying the blindfold was thicker. Like, you know, they made choices.
This is what I love about Jichel.
You're like, and what I hate about you also.
That's what I said on the inside.
Okay, who else should we talk about? Oh, we have a ton of Erte people.
Did not see that coming.
Didn't see it coming either, but makes sense. It's an artist like Alan Jones that is more fashion focused than most. We saw Sam Smith in a pretty insane Christian Coen look, which I think worked for them.
Yeah.
We got Dree Hemingway in Valentino, a batshit look from one of their recent couture collections. Kind of wish it was on a crazier person.
I mean, did her portrayal of Daryl Hannah not prove that she can play batshit if need be?
She can play batshit, but she is not batshit.
She's not, but, you know, the look is crazy, but it's also giving Harlequin clown.
True, but I feel like it's too crazy to wear if you're not crazy. Like, Sam Smith could have worn this.
I do see what you're saying.
But, like, Natasha Lyonne could have worn this.
Natasha Lyonne, not at the Met Gala, I assume because she's also boycotting.
She's definitely boycotting.
Or making her pro-AI film or whatever that is.
I must have missed that. Sabrina Carpenter also did an Erte reference, a really cool one, that was an illustration of this woman in a dress that was just made of film strips.
Yeah, there were a lot of references going on because, yeah, the silhouette was inspired by Erte, but it was a Dior dress that she collaborated with Jonathan Anderson on. And the film strips are not from a silent film, as you might imagine. It's from the 1954 film Sabrina.
So cute. I love that.
Couldn't have been very comfortable to sit in, which is probably why she changed for her performance.
Well, she needed a new performance look anyway. I don't know. I loved the film strip dress. I feel like it's more fun than most people were willing to go this year. A lot of people want to look glamorous, look sexy, whatever. They're not trying to look fun. And she was trying to look fun. Her and Heidi Klum and Rachel Sennett.
Not very colorful, though. Her performance outfit, which was evidently a spring-summer 2018 Versace dress that was referencing the iconic 1991 Gianni Versace pop art collection. Very colorful.
Right. From that amazing fashion show where they brought back all the supermodels. And yeah, I loved that. See, this is the kind of thing that I thought there would be more of. Dresses like this, or like very literal art history references. Like, we all know Warhol, Marilyn.
For sure. And I think that's why people probably didn't grab those references.
There were, however, many people who dressed like Robert Mapplethorpe.
Again, I'm glad I was not making bets on Polymarket, because I could have never guessed that so many people would not just be referencing Mapplethorpe at times, like in Troy Sivan's case, just straight up dressing up like Robert Mapplethorpe.
I think Troy Sivan had the most undeniably Mapplethorpe look, because even though it was kind of kookier and it involved fur and stuff, like, he copied the hair, this very specific hair, from like a very famous Mapplethorpe self-portrait completely. And that, I think, was really cool.
Now, do we have confirmation that that is what Patrick Schwarzenegger was going for? Or is this just our best guess?
That's my best guess. What I'm basing this on is a very famous self-portrait of him where he is wearing a leather jacket, and under that, he's wearing a black suit, white shirt, and a black tie. And all of these looks that we're talking about are some configuration of that. Patrick Schwarzenegger wore public school. This is a very interesting outfit to wear for a straight man.
Well, it was also, I don't know if you were watching the Vogue live stream, but bizarre to see him on the Met Gala red carpet, because I feel like I was waterboarded every commercial break with his Eli Lilly ad. Now just the company's going by Lilly, which was somehow trying to explain to us how like health and fashion and Vogue are all tied together.
I must have muted that every single time.
very wise. Also, Bill Skarsgård in a very un-Tom Brown, Tom Brown look.
Which also had the combination of a sort of shiny or like, I don't know if it was leather or vinyl jacket with the suit underneath. This is the Pennywise, right?
He is the Pennywise, correct.
Sorry, Pennywise. Sorry, I'm a little loopy from looking at all of these photos.
So someone else who was not doing Mapplethorpe, but maybe the ultimate leather daddy, was Luke Evans as Tom of Finland, who I incorrectly thought was dressed up as Peter Marino at first.
See, now that the Met Gala is all about celebrities and not about industry insiders, like, we don't get Peter Marino at the Met Gala anymore. Like, we've lost these people, and that sucks. But I loved that. I thought it was fun. He was wearing Palomo, Spain. It was fun to see the classical leather daddy look in like a dark brown leather instead of the classic black. I liked that.
But, you know, he didn't really commit to the bit because a Tom of Finland look with no bulge.
That's true. If someone's going to be Tom of Finland, it should be Marc Jacobs' boyfriend because he's very Tom of Finland.
Very true. Shall we get into what I think was the strongest menswear look of the night, which was Jeremy Pope in vintage Vivienne Westwood?
I agree. This was an incredible look.
Styled by La Roche.
This was a piece that is probably in the exhibition, or should be, if it's not, a real holy grail kind of vintage item, which I don't know, is it original or did they remake it for him?
The La Roche post I saw, because La Roche posted about styling Jeremy Pope. Still no post about Lauren Sanchez Bezos, but there's still time.
Maybe he doesn't feel like getting cyberbullied today, Lauren.
Well, I'm doing my part. But La Roche did say that this was an archival piece, and I really did think we would see more people on the red carpet doing stuff like this. Because to me, this gets to the heart of fashion being works of art themselves. Because this is not just an archival Vivienne Westwood piece, but it is made by the renowned corset maker Mr. Pearl.
And it's made out of pearls also.
Layers and layers of pearls to give the appearance of bulging muscles.
Very, very cool. Good for him.
You know what wasn't very, very cool? I gotta say, Hudson Williams in Balenciaga.
You don't co-sign on a periwinkle matador suit that involves a crop top? What's wrong with you?
In his defense, one, the look was inspired by an archival bolero that Cristobal Balenciaga wore himself. And I did see the original sketch. And then I saw a photo of how it looked on him. And sometimes you get fucked by the sketch. I see the vision in the sketch. It did not come out in person, though.
Something happened.
There was a disjunct.
That is often the case. The matador is so central to the Balenciaga DNA. And it's like one of the few things that like Demna never fucked with. So I understand why they're bringing it back now. But yeah, I agree. I think there is just a better way to do this. Although I love him. And I love that he said on the Vogue live stream that his glam was inspired by Black Swan.
I did not see that.
Also, Connor Story was there in Saint Laurent. A very restrained look, I thought.
Well, his body is a work of art, so...
Yeah, and I'm surprised that he didn't whore himself out a little bit more. Because even at the Vanity Fair Oscar party, he had this Saint Laurent look where we saw his full chest. Like, he was wearing a completely sheer shirt with, like, a fur stole.
It was about those guns.
It's cool of him for doing something that was more subdued. But the guns, I mean, incredible, the guns. The look, incredible.
You know, I think Hudson was doing too much. Connor, I think we were saying not enough. Could have done a little bit more.
He could have, but I also appreciate the fact that he looked chic and normal and not like a freak parading around naked for all of our amusement.
What did you think of Coleman Domingo and Valentino?
I'm into it. I liked it. This is a real outlier look. Truly, no one else chose to dress like this.
Yeah, on the red carpet, Coleman Domingo said that it was inspired by Basquiat. Although, before I heard that, you would have assumed that the patchwork pattern would have been inspired by like a Picasso Harlequin painting or something.
Yeah, or any classical representation of a Harlequin, Perrault. I don't know the difference between these clowns, but the one with the diamond outfit.
Yes. However, I did see someone pulled Basquiat's 1984 painting, Pez Dispenser, and the vibrant colors do match Coleman Domingo's ensemble.
Okay, that makes sense. Nothing else about this reads Basquiat at all.
No. Also, before moving on, can I just give an honorable mention to Alessandra Michele, whose date was Donatella Versace, and that felt extremely gay.
It does feel gay. It's also nice to see the titans of the Italian fashion industry like hobnobbing with each other and supporting each other. Like, it's so cute that she came to the Gucci show and Demna dressed her. It's cute that she went to the Met Gala with Alessandro. I like it.
Well, she's like, Versace, you push me out. I'm just going to go to all the other Italian houses. How does that make you feel?
But she was wearing Versace still, right? He didn't dress her.
I don't know, actually.
I think she was wearing Versace, but I might be wrong.
Well, if she was not dressed by Versace, that would be quite the gimmick, which I think it's time to get into the most insane gimmicks we saw at the Met Gala.
Have you ever felt scammed after falling for skincare packaging and formulas that don't deliver results? I know I have. That's why I use Naturium. Lately, my shower routine has been lacking. Don't get me wrong, I bathe myself, of course, but my skin was feeling dull and rough. It needed a glow up. That's where Naturium's Glow Getter Bundle comes in. First, I start with the Glow Getter Multi-Oil Body Scrub to slough off the dead skin. Then I move on to the Glow Getter Multi-Oil Body Wash, a nourishing formula that transforms from a luscious oil to a gentle lather to cleanse without stripping the skin of essential moisture. Then once I'm out of the shower, I like to mix my Glow Getter Multi-Oil Body Butter with the body oil. That way, I'm getting the most deeply moisturized skin possible. I mean, I do live in a desert after all. Every time I use this combo, I feel like I've had a mini spa day. My skin feels nourished and soft, and dare I say, I look more radiant. Naturium is clinically effective skincare for everyone, everywhere, every day. I was first introduced to them through their multi-peptide moisturizer. I love their sleek, well-designed packaging. You can always easily find their ingredients, and they are always at an affordable price. They've made skincare an affordable luxury that you can use every day. And let's be honest, consistency is the key to good skin. And through this podcast ad, I'm learning they have a club. Yes, the Consistency Club is where you can sign up, earn points, redeem rewards at no additional cost or subscription. Even your empty bottles earn points, because your best skin starts with a consistent routine. Okay, I need to sign up for this. Give your skin the affordable, luxurious glow up it deserves. Go to Naturium.com/outfit for 10% off the Glow Getter Bundle today. As I said, this bundle is a mini spa day. That's Naturium.com/outfit.
We already talked about Heidi Klum. She obviously falls into this category. I'm really excited to talk to you about Madonna, because this look was a whole thing. She was referencing this painting by Leonora Carrington called The Temptation of Saint Anthony. She collaborated with Saint Laurent to bring her vision to life.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with the ship hat?
Was Saint Laurent up to the task of recreating this? Or is that an Alessandro Michele thing?
Now that's interesting.
I kind of think it was a great idea, but maybe the wrong fashion designer to actually execute it is my hot take. As much as I love Madonna, and I love the reference, I love the artist, and it's also very specific to Madonna because this is someone whose work inspired the Bedtime Story music video. I'm sure she owns several pieces by this artist, I would imagine, knowing Madonna.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Madonna is a major art collector. So why do you think Alessandro Michele might have designed this more accurately?
Because I think the spectacle of it was cool, but I don't think... Like, do you remember what Madonna was wearing? Because I don't.
I know there was a huge hat, and then...
But what she was physically wearing, like, of course we remember the hat, but, like, it's hard because, like, the painting, if you look at the painting, it's basically this woman's head wearing this, like, very dramatic hat that's shaped like a ship, her head sticking out of the middle of a giant piece of fabric that is her dress, and there are women around her entire perimeter holding up the edges of the dress. They reinterpreted this painting so that instead of Madonna wearing this giant dress, it was more like a train attached to a black outfit with girls in slip dresses holding parts of the train.
Right. And they were in very pale pastel color dresses, where in the painting they're much more jewel toned.
Yeah, they were in like existing Saint Laurent pieces, which is not what I take issue with. It's more just like, I feel like this is like a Alessandro Michele like costume design situation more than like an Anthony Vaccarello slip dress situation.
I don't disagree. You also sent me a great video where Jennifer Tilly posted that she has the same hat and had been waiting for the appropriate moment to wear it.
The hat that was Gaultier Couture, actually. The hat's amazing. But also, none of this is very Saint Laurent in terms of like their brand and what they're into. It's very Valentino.
Yeah, it's very clear that Madonna brought this reference to the house. So we had a lot of gimmicks. I would say up there with Heidi Klum would be Bad Bunny, who chose to be old.
I guess the aging body is relevant to the theme. But also would have worked for that Garden of Time Met Gala. Could have been old then.
There were a lot of looks that could have been good for the Garden of Time.
He was wearing Zara. He had a big bow, which was apparently a Charles James reference. So this makes sense now. If you are wearing Zara, you have to do something. You can't just wear Zara.
You have to put on old makeup?
Yeah, you have to put on old makeup.
And then we have someone I was not expecting to see on the red carpet. One Miss Katy Perry made an appearance at the Met Gala this year.
Yes, Katy wore a fancy mask, a grill, six fingers, tarot cards, and a burn train.
Is now a good time to mention that Tatiana no longer styles Katy?
This is perfect. They parted ways amicably. There's no drama. But I am excited to talk about Katy Perry again on the podcast. Although I'm warning you guys, I'm not going to be a bitch. I like her. But I will talk about this outfit.
It's a lot of look.
It's very her in the sense that she loves a bit. She loves a stunt. She loves an Easter egg. But I feel like the overall message was unclear because of all of these disparate things.
I understand most of the references, especially the six-finger glove thing, which is a reference to people creating AI images of Katy the past couple of years when she's not been at the Met Gala that made people think she was.
Which always pissed off Tat because she was like, I would never put her in that.
But I'm a little confused about the tarot cards.
Don't look at me.
Okay.
I don't know. For me, I would rather see her in a really good art history reference than like make a statement about AI, especially because so much of her persona historically has been about surrealism, right? The whipped cream tits, pop art, stuff like that. I think it would be cool if she owned it.
Yeah, I think the grill takes away from that. Like one of these things, I needed her to not have the grill or not have the tarot cards. I'm fine with the singed train and the mask and of course the gloves, which I think is maybe the most successful idea in this look.
Yeah, I agree. The gloves, I understand the thought process behind the gloves.
Okay. Speaking of a lot of look, Janelle Monáe in what I can only describe as a mechanical dress by Christian Siriano.
This did not spark joy. Yes, the fact that it is a mechanical dress that moves is impressive in theory, but like, is it impressive if the dress is ugly?
Well, this was my point to you earlier of Janelle Monáe is a perfect example of a time I looked at the red carpet live stream and I was like, is this the confusing Ex Machina year? What was it?
Yeah, totally.
Manus Ex Machina?
But also the Garden of Time year. It makes me think like, did he want to do this for her then? And they were just like saving it for some reason.
I love that. Christian Siriano is like, I dress 70 celebrities a year, okay? I gotta work smarter, not harder.
I did like the gown he did for Sinead Burke, though. That was good. But this, I can't with this.
Another person who looked like they were dressed for the Garden of Time Met Gala, and it brings me no pleasure to say this, but Charlie XCX in a rather boring YSL dress.
Yeah, it was unoffensive. Like, she looked nice, but not interesting for the Met Gala. And yes, I agree, to Garden of Time.
As was Naomi Watts in Dior.
Angela Bassett in Prabal, though, was the really egregious one. And I just think she deserves better.
Speaking of divas.
We have so many divas to discuss.
Chelsea, how are you doing? Because Stevie Nicks made, would it be her first appearance at the Met Gala?
It was her first appearance. And this is why I love the Met Gala, because there is always a woman of a certain age that you don't expect to be there. Like some years it's like Whoopi Goldberg, other years it's Bette Midler. This year, Stevie Nicks.
In Galliano for Zara.
I'll take it. I'll take what I can get.
And she was there to perform with Sabrina Carpenter. Is that the reason she was there?
And I guess so. And to do Spawn for Zara. They must have paid her.
Again, as you said, I'll take it.
I'll take it. This, I think, is cool because I don't think of John Galliano and Stevie Nicks as having a ton in common, but they do because they're both interested in historical fashion. They love a petticoat. They love a hoop skirt. They love an overcoat. They love a top hat. Like, they love that shit. So it's fun seeing them sort of come together with their common interests.
Do you think she could be the cover girl for the first Galliano for a Zara collaboration?
I wouldn't be mad, but I don't think that this has anything to do with what that will look like.
No, this is a one-of-one for Stevie Nicks look. And I'm sure it was a thrill for John Galliano.
I'm sure. I like this a lot because, again, the surprise factor is there. Like, it's not a full-on gimmick like some of the people we just talked about, but it is because it's such an unexpected pairing.
What was not unexpected would be Nicole Kidman, who was a co-chair at the Met Gala, in Chanel. What was unexpected was her reasoning of how her Chanel ensemble was on theme, which was the very first interview I saw in the Vogue live stream that really set the tone, I felt. She said, "Fashion is art, and I wanted something red because I wanted to embrace the way in which red has been used in art through the years."
Whatever, Nicole. Who cares? You look major. This is how I wish people dressed at the Oscars.
We did get some of that. Speaking of that idea, Margot Robbie was there in a very Oscars-worthy dress.
Boring for the Met Gala, but good for the Oscars. Or okay for the Oscars.
Yeah, she was in a nude gown. I thought it kind of washed her out.
Yeah, I didn't love that. But Nicole looked amazing, and it's such a timeless look. Like, you could imagine that dress on Diana Ross or Marlena Dietrich or a number of icons throughout history, but it looked perfect on Nicole. And the shade of red in particular was just stunning. Gorgeous.
And I think she had the perfect answer because I've always maintained over the years, it is cruel and unusual punishment to make these celebrities explain to you how they're dressing on theme.
I agree. We also got a sort of parallel look from Lena Dunham in Valentino. I think our girl looked great.
She did, and I was surprised to find out that her inspiration was one of my favorite paintings, which is Artemisia Gentileschi's painting, Judas Slaying Holofernes, which Alessandra Michele, I think she more had an idea of a Renaissance painting. Maybe she'd have a sword, and Alessandra Michele was inspired by the blood spatter instead.
And what it turned into was some sort of like Bob Mackie fantasy where she kind of actually looked like how Kylie and Kendall dressed during the Camp Met Gala. Like, yeah, she looked like one of them. But I thought it was cool. And it also looked kind of punk because I love that, like, she's wearing this very extravagant dress. She's wearing Valentino rock stud heels.
That was unfortunate to witness.
But it's looking perfect in punk because, like, she's out here with just, like, an exposed, pale, bruised, like, Courtney Love leg in this outfit. No hosiery, no spray tan, no bullshit. I'm into it. I looked at that leg, I was like, oh, that's like my leg. That's a real woman's leg.
It's aspirational because it's so real.
It's aspirational because she's like, I can't be fucked to put makeup on my leg. That's cool. I'm into it.
So I have a question for you. Did Anna Wintour just wear the same outfit that she wore for the camp year, but just change the color?
It seems that she did.
So the camp year, she wore a Chanel dress and cape in pink, which matched the red carpet. And then this year, she was in a pale green version, which seemingly also matched the carpet. So is that what she's going by?
I think it's cool that she repeated a Met Gala look. The camp one was my favorite thing she's ever worn at the Met Gala. So this one is now my second favorite, I guess. I think it's cool. She knows what she likes. She knows what looks good on her. Say what you want about Anna, but she has more established personal style, more consistent style than 99% of the people that go to the Met Gala. Always.
That's true. That's why she can repeat a look.
Okay. I also want to talk about Cardi B in Marc Jacobs, said to be inspired by a Hans Bellmer sculpture.
Yeah, I would imagine that for many, this would be a worst dress pick, but I think it actually is one of the more successful looks that interpreted the theme of the exhibition more than the red carpet. Because the exhibition, if you've seen photos, there's a lot of body exploration.
Yeah, I thought that we would see more looks that overtly addressed body modification. I thought at least some person would wear the Comme des Garçons lumps and bumps, but this was like the closest that we got to that was Cardi B. But it was also very campy. It was very, what was the monster from The Substance that she turned into by the end?
The end monster, yeah.
Whatever that was. It was very that. And just a funny look and self-aware for Cardi, right? She is someone that has modified her body in extreme ways. And I think it's cool that she has a sense of humor and is down to clown and wear this insane outfit.
As I said, one of the more successful looks at the Met Gala. Another very successful look, of course, Rihanna in Margiela.
This, to your point, is one of the better sort of contemporary examples of fashion that verges on fine art.
Of course. And I think that we had a feeling that someone would wear Margiela. And if it was going to be anyone, it would probably be Rihanna.
But while I think this gown is beautiful, the problem with these Margiela Couture gowns is that, like, without the face covering, it's an instant downgrade from the runway. So it's like, we've seen this before, and it's also less dramatic because there's no face covering.
I do agree.
Even Rihanna's beautiful, beautiful face, like, something is lost without that.
I do agree with you. However, her level of fashion literacy is unmatched. I mean, this does feel like something that she called in was her vision. And so I just feel like if she's on the Met Gala red carpet, she's always a step above everyone else. Although I believe she showed up an hour after the red carpet had closed.
I'm sure.
What did you think about A$AP Rocky and Chanel?
He looks great. No notes. This man has never looked bad a day in his life. And neither has Rihanna, really.
Yeah, I mean, we're just talking about degrees. Is this her most successful Met Gala look? No.
Well, we're basing this criticism on her own catalog, and she is the best, historically. So it's hard not to have high standards for her.
We also had Cher, the ultimate Met Gala diva, the original.
Tat's like, have I seen this exact outfit before? And I was like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, all I was going to say is that Cher can wear anything. That's all I have to say.
Cher can wear anything, but, like, I don't know. I feel like Burberry kind of didn't do the best job with this. I don't think they did. I don't think that anyone should wear ankle boots at the Met Gala unless it's, like, Charlotte Gainsbourg. That's my rule. I stand by that, actually.
As I said, Cher can wear anything. That is my opinion on her outfit.
Beyonce and Olivier Rousteing, who is a free agent at the moment, seemingly.
Yeah, did we get an official announcement that he was leaving Balmain?
Yeah, someone else is now designing for Balmain.
Oh, shit.
I thought we talked about the first collection, but maybe we didn't.
This is tough because I don't want to get canceled by the Beehive, but also I don't think it was her strongest look.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was outdated.
I think the Robert Wound dress that she wore inside was a much stronger piece. Again, please don't cancel me.
Although Robert Wound is also responsible for a lot of those, like, scary outfits with arms that we saw.
Yes, the Beyonce outfit did not have scary arms, but she did look like the Bene Gesserit from Dune.
I did think that more people would do anatomical stuff. So it was unique in that respect because no one else did skeletons somehow, miraculously. But also, I just feel like it's a combination of things that we've already seen from her. We've seen the naked dress. We've seen the, like, giant feathered cape. We've, of course, seen the diamond headdress. And that's not to say that, like, there's no way those things can't be reinterpreted for her. But to me, this just, like, was not that interesting. But also, it was the first time she'd been to the Met Gala in, like, a decade. And I was like, how? Really?
I know, that I did find shocking as well.
I was like, I could have sworn she was just there, but
that's the power of her.
Speaks to my shit memory, perhaps. Another diva look, Teyana Taylor in Tom Ford.
I thought she looked incredible.
Yeah, obsessed. I feel like Haider Ackermann, his choices are very cool. Last year, he did Madonna in the white suit. This year, he made a very bold choice to cover the freakishly perfect body of this woman in metallic fringe, even obscure most of her face. Like, I was like, who the fuck is that in there? But I think it worked. I think it was cool.
He also dressed Rebecca Hall and Morgan Spector, who looked very hot.
Oh, I didn't see Rebecca Hall, but I thought Morgan Spector looked amazing. And clearly that's why.
I've never wanted a couple to be at a bar and look at me and just like enjoy my whole vibe.
They are hot.
All right, we had divas, and now it's time to get into some It Girls. But I feel like we need to preface before we get into It Girl commentary that it sort of doesn't matter if these women were on theme or not. They're It Girls. Like, they're always going to look good.
But also, like, It Girls, like, usually don't really fuck with the theme, because to care about the theme that much would be embarrassing and would mess with their status as It Girls.
Yeah, I mean, to be cool is to not care.
Right. And just wear something that is fresh off the runway, like Anna Wyant, who wore Marc Jacobs. This is what I would want to wear, personally.
Well, she is an artist and an It Girl, so therefore she already is on theme.
Yeah, and she's wearing this like poofy party dress that kind of looks like a 60s house coat. I loved that.
Another Marc Jacobs It Girl was Rachel Sennett.
See, she doesn't fall into the category of girls that we were talking about because she did try.
And that's okay.
They chose to do a Psycho John Baldessari reference that ended up looking like something that Fran Fine would have worn to the Met Gala. And while I don't think that every aspect of this was successful, I appreciate it deeply.
I like how you say every aspect as if it's a complicated dress.
Well, it is. She has a polka dot on her head. There's many moving parts to this outfit. It's not simple, actually. Have you seen her? Her yes. Legs are different colors, for Christ's sake.
Whoa! You know who someone who certainly didn't care about being on theme or not would be? Charlotte Gainsbourg. And we love her for that.
Yeah, she just looks cool. Her style is so consistent. You know that she's like the one person that is still smoking on the premises somewhere. Respect. Also, I guess she's just going to be an It Girl forever.
Correct.
Like, we're going to be talking about like 80-year-old Charlotte Gainsbourg and using the term girl.
See, that's someone who could still be Miss Dior in her 50s. That I would accept.
Kate Moss also wore Saint Laurent. I thought this was boring. I just have to say it.
Yeah, but she's an It Girl. She can get away with it.
She's amazing. We love. But in a perfect world, she would have Zoe Kravitz's dress.
Yes.
I also love Iman Hammam in Saint Laurent. She wore one of those crazy voluminous Saint Laurent dresses from not the last collection, but the collection before that.
See, I would have liked Kate Moss to be in that style of dress.
Totally. Well, I really loved this. Like, this is a look that, like, not really relevant to the theme at all, but just a person that looks good in an incredible piece of fashion that is reasonably new.
Respect.
I also was quite into Anaki Eye in Balenciaga.
The makeup is what really pushes this look over the edge.
Yeah. Some of the best glam of the night. Maybe the best glam of anyone, honestly.
And we should say, for people who haven't seen this look, she's rocking the Madonna tears. The Madonna painting, not Madonna the singer.
It looks like a crying statue. It looks eerie as hell. The gown is like a pretty traditional black, sort of poofy, gorgeous, like everything that Pier Paolo is good at. Chic dress that will look amazing any year. Good for her.
Sarah Pidgeon was also at the Met Gala, not her first year. This was her second Met Gala. Her first Met Gala, she was a brunette. Now she's a blonde. And I thought she was in Balenciaga because she just spent the past weekend starring in a Balenciaga commercial shot by Celine Song that will come out soon. But she was actually in Loewe.
This could have been designed by Balenciaga, though, now.
That's what I thought.
It's boring for the Met. Like, if she was at anything else, I don't think I would have any sort of critique for this.
It feels like an Emmys look, not a Met Gala look.
You're right. That's what it is. It's an Emmys color also.
Ooh.
Like a chartreuse.
Well, speaking of someone who sort of wore chartreuse would be Alexa Chung in Dior, which I think a lot of people going into the Met Gala thought we would see a lot of Galliano Dior, or at least references to that. But I feel like this was the closest look we got. which is Jonathan Anderson's pale chartreuse water lily dress, which is very reminiscent of the chartreuse dress that Galliano designed for the fall winter Dior couture collection that famously Nicole Kidman wore to the Oscars that made Joan Rivers pretend to vomit in her presence.
Yeah, and we've seen the water lily motif from his last collection, but like this also could be a Monet homage. If you think about it.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's what I thought of when I first saw it. But again, respect to Alexa Chung for dressing fun. Everything about this is fun. The color, the vibe.
Yeah, I thought that more people would have this energy, but not so much.
We also saw Lily Rose Depp in Chanel. Gorgeous, but I don't have much to say.
No, it was giving Edwardian painting with Instagram face.
I hope she got a photo with Hunter Schaefer. Because I feel like their looks were kind of aligned accidentally.
Just giving haunted doll painting vibes?
Yeah, it's so true. Lily Rose Depp actually should have been Margaret Keane because she has that face. If she wasn't a Chanel girl, I would say like you have to do like a Margaret Keane like Prada kind of vibe with those eyes.
We also saw Maude Apatow and Valentino, which I don't have much to say about this look, but she was cute.
A really good dress. Gorgeous.
And then I think rounding out the It Girls would be Alex Cassani and Gucci.
It seems that she is the face of the new Gucci, new Demna Gucci, which is cool.
And from what I read, this is Demna's twist on Botticelli's Primavera.
Seems like a stretch.
Still not sure how to align Demna's Gucci, but...
Nothing offensive about this. She's hot. She looks great. It's chic. It's inoffensive. But again, it's kind of like there's not much to talk about. Which is fine because there isn't much to talk about when someone just looks good and is not doing that much.
Yeah, she arrived in a giant white cape and then she disrobed and it revealed a see-through corset and feathers. A lot more nipples on the red carpet than I was expecting this year.
Well, who else had their nips out?
Well, Alex Cassani had her actual nipples out. Kendall and Kylie had
the Skims nipple bras on.
Yes, which I should have worn in solidarity for this episode.
That was a real missed opportunity.
And I think we've said it all. Were there literally hundreds more looks that were on the red carpet? Yes, but these are all the ones we cared to talk about, which only means there's one thing left to discuss, which is our worst dressed of the night.
You go first. We'll do one for one. What's your first?
We haven't mentioned her yet. I gotta say, Blake Lively in archival Versace, which I'm putting this on worst dress list for the fact that a 2006 era dress is an archival dress, which I get it. 20 years is vintage. Rules are rules. But that was very upsetting to hear that the year I graduated high school is now deemed archival. It didn't spark joy. I don't know what it's trying to say other than, hey, look at me. I just settled my lawsuit with Justin Baldoni.
I don't think it's good, but it's so her.
Yeah.
Like, this is not my kind of girl, but like, she is that girl.
That's fair. But I do think that the worst thing you can do at the Met Gala is dress as if you're going to the Oscars.
I agree. Nothing spoke to me about this, as per usual, but that is always the case with Blake Lively.
Okay, who do you have?
Okay, I don't want to shade an It Girl, but Odessa Azion in Valentino. I think sometimes in life you have to make a choice. Like if your tits are out, you have to wear pants. Or if you don't have pants, you have to like not have your tits out. I don't know if you should like have your tits out and have a corset and have no pants and have thigh-high boots.
Now, I feel like she too, like Hudson Williams, might have gotten fucked by the sketch. Because I could see how in a sketch you would think that this look would work.
Sure. But I feel like if your tits are out like that, you need a skirt.
It's all about proportions and balance.
Yeah, exactly. I think like this would work if you were like Anne Hathaway's character in Mother Mary performing on a stage, but maybe not like at the Met Gala.
At your first Met Gala.
Although, you know what? Props to her for doing something crazy.
That's true. I mean, we do often speak about how the worst dress list is often so boring because so many celebrities are scared to dare to be the worst dressed.
It's better to be worst dressed than to be so boring that like we don't even think to talk about you. So good for her, actually. I like it.
Speaking of those who dared to be on the worst dress list, We've already talked about him before, but I do have to deem Hudson Williams as one of my worst dressed. He's new at this, and he definitely gave 110%, but sometimes you should do less.
Totally hear you, although I think that his particular brand of Matador meets Black Swan is so ambitious and so psychotic, and just the idea of being a straight man in a periwinkle Matador outfit is so subversive that maybe he is the worst dressed, but you know what? He's also the best dressed.
Well, I think here at the Every Outfit podcast, the worst dressed isn't the worst dressed. It is an honor here at the Every Outfit podcast to be.
It's an honor for Hudson Williams and for Otessa Azion. But okay, I don't know if it's an honor for my next pick. Alyssa Liu. This breaks my heart because I love this girl. She is a celebrity emo. We have so few of those.
Speaking of 20 years ago, it's not 20 years ago.
She is a beautiful girl, a beautiful, talented girl. I cannot believe the Louis Vuitton Atelier did her dirty like this. Actually, I can, because they always do people dirty. But this is like really egregious to me.
It's not tied to anything. I mean, it's more tied to Nicole Kidman explaining that I'm wearing red to honor how red has been in art over the years.
It looks like a prom dress. It doesn't look cool. And to me, she is so cool that, like, I just want her to be wearing a designer that is a bit more anti-establishment. Like, I love, she needs to wear a freaky ass British designer. She needs to wear Simone Rocha or like Alexander McQueen or something like that. Those freaks over there understand her and her crazy ass hair. And I don't think we need to be making her look more girly and palatable. I think we should lean into the fact that she's like a little freak and that's cool.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. You know what's also unfortunate? And I've put her on the worst dress list, but it is not an honor for her. Emily Blunt in Ashy Studio.
What was that? She's coming off the high of Devil Wears Prada 2.
Now, we did discuss this with Hudson Williams, but there was a puzzling mini trend at the Met Gala, which was fashion is art and art is a Spanish bullfighter. Chelsea, it is a look so bad that her own Stan account, Best of Emily Blunt Twitter, wouldn't post the look. Instead, they posted, I won't post Emily Blunt's Met Gala look this year. Sorry, it's for her own good.
Wow, who's that little cunt? My God, I thought we were bitchy.
But a look so bad that your own Stan account to preserve their love for you won't even post photos of it. It's pretty bad.
It is bad. And she doesn't deserve this.
Okay. Who's your final worst dress pick?
It pains me to say this because she has done some spectacular Met Gala looks in the past. But I am not into Doja Cat in Yves Saint Laurent or in YSL. Or wait, in Saint Laurent.
Look, I think any of those monikers work.
When a brand dresses a ton of people, someone always gets fucked. Like one person from the crew gets fucked. And the person that got fucked this year was Doja Cat.
Well, I think to your point, the person who got it the best would be Hailey Bieber in Saint Laurent that was referencing Yves Saint Laurent. You also had Zoe Kravitz in Saint Laurent in a very Anthony Vaccarello version of Saint Laurent. I think the issue with this Doja Cat look is this is neither Yves Saint Laurent, YSL, or Saint Laurent. What is this?
I don't know. Like, she's wearing vinyl, rubber, something in that world. Something that could melt if it comes too close to an open flame.
If she came too close to Charlotte Gainsbourg is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. But the problem with this is that the draping across her chest is like really, really bulky. And it doesn't look anything like the original sketch, which they showed on, I don't know if it was Vogue or if it was E. I had them both up yesterday.
Simultaneously. As we've said, most people who don't have successful looks, it can be explained by just getting, I think I'm going to call it from now on, sketch fucked.
Yeah, but also, like, the thing I like about her is that she wears fun stuff to the Met Gala. Like, she looked like a cat that one year. And, like, last year she had a really fun Marc Jacobs look. And
or even remember how she showed up to the Schiaparelli Couture show a couple years ago, like, fully bedazzled in red?
In a Met Gala look, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because we've seen her like that, I'm not exactly wowed by whatever happened here.
It's not a successful Saint Laurent look. It's not a successful Met Gala look. It's not a successful Doja Cat look.
Which sucks, because she's cool and can pull off more fashion than most people there.
And you know, because she's been so successful at the Met Gala, on the red carpet, at fashion shows, there's no way she was happy and thought this look worked when she tried it on.
Oh no, she's pissed. Someone's getting fired.
And that does it, folks.
That does it for this year. It's been a journey.
It has indeed. We'll be back next year on video, so you can actually see what we're talking about.
Thank God.
But for now, I have to go and put on my barrier repair cream because I chose to laser half my face off.
Is your baby just like crying uncontrollably? Like, who is this monster? That's not my mommy. Not the mama.
That is something that Chelsea loves to say whenever she sees Morty.
Not the mama?
Not the mama.
Honey, I'm a child of the 90s.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week. I will have seen Mother Mary. I hope it has not gone out of theaters yet.
Your skin will grow back, hopefully, and all will be right with the world.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this year's Met Gala coverage. We'll be back next week.
Bye.